Welcome to this Friday edition, end of the week, Faith and Family Show, broadcasting live from the historic Studio A of Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news. We are finishing out our week on Fun in the Sun. We've had a good time talking about staycations, time with grandparents and their kids. We've also talked about the Creation Museum with the attempt to build a full-scale replica of Noah's Ark. And so we're going to wrap it up today with some good talk about what some churches, what some congregations can do to help Fun in the Sun for kids. Before we do that, though, let me encourage you. This is a call-in participative show, so we invite you to join us about Fun in the Sun. Talk with us and our guests at 314-505-7850 in the St. Louis area, or worldwide 1-800-730-2727. Or you can email us at family@kfuo.org. I'm not Jimmy Buffett. I wish I was some days, but I'm your temporary host, Pastor Rod Zwanisser, and we're real pleased to say that our official new Faith and Family host will be revealed on July 1. We're excited about that. We were sorry to see Liz Hoffman go because of a long commute. We wish her well. We want to also tell you and encourage you about something we're excited about here at Worldwide KFUO. It's our monthly Wi-Fi radio giveaway. We're giving away one a month. This is a great grace Wi-Fi radio. Easy to hook up. You get over 10,000 internet stations. All you have to have is a Wi-Fi connection, or you can get one, not too much money either. This radio just plugs right into the wall and tunes into your Wi-Fi, and you can get KFUO 24/7. Now, in the month of June, we're giving one away to the person that gives us the best entry comment on our Facebook page, why your dad should get this Wi-Fi radio. Last month was Mom. We gave away one and just had a great time. Over 30 people entered. And full details of how you can do that, and you can see a picture of the Grace Wi-Fi radio, is on our webpage, kfuo.org, or on our Facebook page. So go there, check it out, enter your dad, and then have all your people vote, all your friends, all your family, everybody in your congregation. We welcome in Pastor Charles Wildner. He's pastor there at St. Thomas Evangelical Lutheran Church in the great city of Baltimore, Maryland. Welcome to Faith and Family, Charles.
Thank you very much.
Now we heard through some bunch of people that you were doing some great things. I believe you're there in or close to inner city Baltimore. Is that right?
We are right downtown in the inner city itself.
Wow. Are you close to that great redone harbor area?
You can walk there. Wow. That's about 20 blocks away.
That's such a great place. I know a lot of cities kind of watch that with interest, the great stuff they did there. And so inner city Baltimore now is a great place to live, I take it.
It is. We're in a very economically depressed area.
Okay.
So that many of our people are on public assistance or very low-paying jobs or minimal wage. A few years back, we had arsonists that burned out many of the homes in the area.
Wow.
So unfortunately, so many of them are boarded up, and many of the kids that come are actually children of drug addicts and things
wow.
like that. So they have very rough home situations.
Yeah, and so what a blessed refuge that a church and all the activities you have can be for kids in that situation.
It really is. We can sometimes be the only role model. In fact, the delegate to the State House one time said we were the only bright light in this entire neighborhood shining.
Wow. Now, do you have any kind of preschool or day school there, Pastor?
No, we don't. No, we have an after-school program that runs all year long when the city schools are opened, which is kind of like an ongoing vacation Bible school for 2 hours after school every Monday.
Is that the infamous Cool Club?
Yes, it is.
I love the name of that with the K, Cool Club, Kids Cool Club,
exactly.
KKK, but in a great light. That is neat. So how did this get going, Charles?
Well, years ago when my predecessor was here, he wanted me to do something with the kids because there were just droves of kids on the streets, and know, in Row House, Baltimore, when they were built, there were no cars. Everybody took public transportation or walked to work, and they lived locally. So the kids would play in the streets. And you'd have a couple of delivery trucks, and that was about it during the day. And so it's pretty congested living, and kids were all over with nothing to do. And at that time, there were no city programs for them. So we started the Cool Club, like a day camp, 5 days a week. And in the early 70s, we would have about 80 kids a day that would come. Now there's other programs, thank goodness, that have developed, you know, and all around. But we can still pull about 20 or more kids. We limit it according to how much help we volunteer help.
Sure.
We do get a seminary each summer that comes.
Oh, neat.
That's their major job, is to work with the Cool Club.
Now, how long is this club, this day camp? What are the hours? How much do you have these kids during
the day? It's about 3 hours. Well, during the summertime, it's about 3 hours, but of course, they're generally there an hour ahead of time begging to come in.
Wow.
Not wanting to leave.
Wow.
During the wintertime, we go right after school from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock.
Wow. Now, so these kids, maybe let's take this in a couple of parts, because this is just fascinating stuff. And, you know, we wanted to have you on to encourage creative thinking on the part of other congregations that were listening, that they can reach out to their communities with this kind of stuff.
Right.
The one after school during the winter, do you let them do all play, or do you try to help them, you know, develop some study habits and that kind of thing, get their homework done before you have playtime or that?
We're not getting into the study times and things like that. Basically what happens, the kids come and I have an opening chapel service with them, singing lots of, you know, Christian kids songs and the object lesson, and we always go through like the Lord's Prayer, the Ten Commandments, and the Apostles' Creed. It's almost a competitive thing as who can say the commandments without looking at them and stuff like that.
Wow.
They go through the years.
Charles, give us an idea. How many of these kids have ever been exposed to any of this in a correct way?
Very few of any of them at home. There is a couple of them whose parents may send them on some of the suburban buses that come by and pick up kids for a large chunk of the Sunday afternoon or morning. But most of them are unchurched, and their parents are certainly unchurched.
Yeah, yeah.
So this is probably their only exposure to Christ,
wow,
salvation.
Yeah, you know, my daughter now, who's grown and given me four beautiful grandkids, when we were here at the seminary, we lived in a townhome a little ways away, and a little girl down the unit from us, I think her parents were pretty much into drugs heavy, and so my daughter asked if we could take this young lady with us, and my daughter then was about 8, and I said, absolutely not. She said, well, why? And I said, she'll be a disgrace at church, you know. And my daughter looks up and said, you know, isn't this the kind of person that Jesus would want us to bring? And I'm like, reluctantly, okay. So we take her to church at First Day Charles, and what they call a field worker. This is my field work congregation, and I'm teaching a class of adults, and they pull me out and say that this girl is a casa de boy in the bathroom, and I'm like, oh no. And you know, so I'm telling my daughter, this is the last one. She said, no, Dad, I think this is what Jesus would want us to do. And you know, I kept in there really for my daughter, and I learned so much that this girl would look forward to going with us so much. And for a while, she was, you know, pretty rebellious, as we all are, with, you know, this church and Jesus stuff, and she'd use explicatives. But, you know, after 2 years of giving it, she would just cry and say this is the thing she looked forward to all week. To get dressed up, she had to make her own, you know, breakfast. Just broke my heart, and her parents are usually passed out on something, you know. And, wow, it taught me so much, and I think that's kind of the environment that you've got there, right? You probably
exactly.
Even more in spades and multiplied. So how blessed is that to, you know, give them Jesus?
It really is. It's a way of reaching out. In fact, over the years, we've gained some members or people have come back that remembered coming here as a kid to Cool Club. In fact, the president of our Ladies Aid was real active in LW. Came to Cool Club as a kid. She was one of my Cool Club kids.
Oh, my goodness. So it's been that long, you're saying the 70s. So Ed went to Cool Club as a kid, and now as an adult comes there and become a member, adult member of your congregation.
Exactly. I worked at the congregation I'm pastor right now for 5 summers with my predecessor.
Okay.
And I developed the Summertime Cool Club. And then when it went vacant, my 5th summer here, I talked them into doing it all year long with lay people. And they kept it going for the 2 years of the vacancy, and then the seminary sent me back here. And I've been pastor here since 1980.
Wow, so you've had 30-some years under your belt doing this already.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that right. Must be so encouraging to you to see the Lord use this in those ways.
It really is. A man just came back to me and said, I just found out I was baptized into your church. And he, I said, well, then I did it, if you'd be sick.
Wow.
So he was pretty excited about that. He joined our... we have a drug and alcohol recovery house, and a residential place for men.
Okay.
One of our other ministries.
Well, it sounds like you're doing great things there in inner city Baltimore, Charles. Now, when you get to the summer, I guess you call it Hot Summer Cool Club?
Hot Summer Cool Club, yes.
That sounds great. So how do you change it up from what the winter one looks like to the summer? Does it difference a whole lot?
It's longer. Generally, the kids will take trips sometimes once a week or every other week. We'll take them on public transportation or try to get volunteers to take people kids in their cars. So we'll take them to museums and things like that, and the zoo, and many of the things that the kids have never been exposed to.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's a big difference. Sometimes we've actually taken them to one of the city pools to go swimming. We haven't in recent years, but many times when we start the Lutheran camp, we would take them to Raven Rock that was nearby, and we would do an overnight with them and things like that.
Yeah.
Do you
ever get any of the famous Baltimore Ravens or any of those pro athletes to come and support you or come and talk to the kids?
We haven't had them individually, no. I mean, they've been in the neighborhood for things, and the kids have seen them, but not that.
I'm wondering that go, I'm
Muppets,
sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. I'm sorry, Charles.
The man, Kevin Clash, that worked with Jim on the Muppets and things like that, he actually came before he was famous as a student and did a couple of performances here.
Wow.
Years ago.
I'm thinking of that big tackle offensive lineman that made that, really great, the blindsided.
Right.
That guy, he would be terrific and maybe even. So what I was driving at was, I'll bet you some of our listeners out there in all parts might want to support this thing. Could you use a little support coming in for the Cool Club?
Always. We're probably financially with my members of the poorest of the congregations, but extremely active with a number of ministries with the Cool Club included. In fact, the only way that I was able to work here is during those 5 summers is the congregation would send out letters saying, please help, the harvest is plentiful, but we need laborers and we need money to pay a summer vicar, who was me at that time, and all different ladies' aides and individuals would send money, and that's how we were able to staff it.
Yeah.
For a number of years. Things like that make it possible, and people give donations that we can take them to the zoo or take them to a museum, and some things are free, but many things aren't.
Yeah.
Like they would love to see the National Aquarium downtown, but it's pretty expensive.
Yeah. So you can use all the donations and help you can possibly get. And so is there a website or some way that people could make a donation, Charles?
Sure, you can just go, on Missouri Synod's website and click on to St. Thomas Lutheran in Baltimore. It'll take you right there.
Okay. Or better yet, we can find your website, and we'll just put a link right on the archive version of this show, which will come up pretty
wonderful.
Quick later on today or Monday, and then people can just go on our webpage, kfuo.org, and they'll see this archived of the show, and they can click right on and get right in there to St. Thomas Lutheran Church in Baltimore.
Now, that'll be wonderful.
Yeah, so you were saying that in the normal during school time, the Kids Cool Club is what, from 3 to 5 or 3 to 6, something like that?
From 3 to 5.
3 to 5.
It's about 2 hours.
Yeah. And then what are your summer hours for the Hot Summer Cool Club version?
Summertime, it's like 12:30 to 4.
12:30 to 4. Wow.
Yeah.
So kids get pretty much an afternoon to come and hang out with you and do some good things.
After lunch, that's when we use the churchyard. They play games. Sometimes we have themes with it. We used to always take them to the library, but the library is unfortunately closed nearby. But sometimes we'll try to get librarians, and we'll get a nurse come in, a barman come in, whoever we can get in different professions that can talk about what they do. Of course, every day there's chapel, and there's always a Bible story and worksheets that we've developed for that.
Yeah.
And arts and crafts are a big part of it. And some years we've taught them to play recorder.
Wow. My memory's pretty bad these days, but I'm I was mad at myself because I really liked this guy in his book, Michael Orr. O-H-E-R is the big guy I was talking about. And, for years he had this really cool thing that that I got into, was he would buy a tremendous amount of Christmas presents and distribute them to the inner city kids there in Baltimore. And so he had this thing set up where you could go to Toys R Us and you could buy gifts to be given. So I did that for years. What I'm going to do?
We matched about 100 kids with Christmas presents.
Oh, you were part of that. Well, listen, I'm
going to say... Not that, this is not with him.
Something
but,
else.
We've gone to family members, local congregations, some of the Lutheran schools, the classes will adopt a couple kids. So, yeah.
And why I was thinking about the lady that and the family that took care of him, Leanne Tui, she was on Fox and Friends this morning, and I was thinking of this, and I said, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to write Michael Orr a letter and say, man, I've been a supporter of your Toys R Us present giveaway thing for years now, and I love it. So I got a buddy in downtown Baltimore could use some help. You might contact him. Maybe he could show up with the kids. Kids love somebody like that, a hero to come in and talk to them and inspire
them.
So
wonderful.
Maybe he'll do it. Maybe the Lord will use this to get somebody like that down there. So talk to us, Pastor, about how many volunteers does it take besides the staff there at St. Thomas Church to put on this cool club?
Okay, during the winter time, generally it takes at least 3 or 4 teachers to do that, and myself, and then there's usually another gal that comes in and helps me get the arts and crafts ready, and another lady usually comes and prepares the snack for them. It's always difficult in the city because, unlike in the county where people sign up for Vacation Bible School programs, you have a general idea of how many people are going to come. We never know. You could prepare 20 crafts and all of a sudden have 40 kids show up. It's like,
yeah.
With this, you've got to run the arts and crafts room and come up with something, age appropriate and something they can do and have the supplies for it. So that's about how many people it takes during the wintertime. During the summertime, depending upon the volunteers, we sometimes have to limit it with the vicars. So we say about 20 kids in elementary school level. If we have more adult volunteers that are committed, we've upped that number in some years. And then generally you have about 3 adults there with it. You always need one just kind of supervising and doing stuff, and the vicar kind of teaches the whole time, and then another assistant with them.
Sure. So it takes a healthy amount of work, and as you say, it's tough in a normal situation to predict how many kids are going to come to an event, but in your situation, I'm sure it's even more of a difficulty to figure out, who's going to be able to make it and who isn't. But it sounds like a lot of your kids, if they possibly can, they enjoy what you're doing and they want to come. Do a lot of them, like self-promote it, that bring their friends, bring their neighbors?
Definitely, definitely. In fact, it's like when we do our week of Vacation Bible School, it'll start out smaller and all of a sudden it'll like boom the next night because they went and told their friends and brought relatives and other kids in the neighborhood back with them.
Wow.
Word of mouth is a big thing, of course.
Sure. Sure. And your facilities there fit well with what you're trying to do. You said you had a play area for them, and of course probably a place to worship and a place to do crafts
really
and stuff like
blessed
that.
With the size of the building, I mean, the sanctuary can see like about 170 people. The building was built in 1889, but then there's a hall next built onto it, like a fellowship hall, and then the men dug out the basement in the 50s, so that can be divided into little like Sunday school classrooms and things like that, at the large kitchen, and so you can put about classes and kind of isolate them in the basement, which is nice.
Yeah.
Also, other large areas down there.
Sure. Okay.
And the yard has been great.
Yeah.
Know, having that because, you know, there's not much space in the city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Space, it's large enough that you can play volleyball and wiffle ball and dodge and things like that.
That's why it's probably so fun, the field trips you're talking about, to be able to take them to other things. And so, you know, they can see things and flex their legs and walk around and all that other stuff and see things that they might never have, and swim and all that other stuff. You take them out and give some of those famous soft shell crabs in the Maryland area, Chesapeake Bay.
The eating crabs is probably pretty common, even for the poorest people in Baltimore. You don't live in Baltimore without eating some crabs.
Oh, that's kind of basic.
In fact, some of the famous crab houses are only about 3 or 4 blocks away from here, where people would actually drive in from the county to buy their crabs. So the kids have done that. They all haven't crabbed. We have taken them fishing before. I also teach part-time in a Lutheran school, and the director of Christian education out there, she's been great, and she will work with the vicar and get volunteers and fishing rods and stuff like that. So,
neat.
She's helped us.
So you get some surrounding congregations and that pitch in and help you out with the efforts. Listen, Pastor, we're going to have to, we've come to our first break. And so we encourage the listeners out there to keep listening and get some ideas for what you might do in your community, your area, or above everything else, you can pray for this great Kids Cool Club there in the Baltimore area. We'll have a link to it. And so call in 314-505-7850 or worldwide 1-800-730-2727 or email us at family@kfuo.org. We'd love to hear from you as we come back from a quick break. Stick with us. You're listening to Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Terry McAuliffe is running for governor in Virginia, and he's getting flack for attending a Washington, D.C. party while his wife was at the hospital getting ready to have their baby. McAuliffe also admitted that on the way home from the hospital with his wife and new baby, he stopped to attend a political fundraiser. He left his wife sitting in the car crying. When his other son was born, he got into a heated political argument with the doctors and got thrown out of the delivery room by a nurse. These aren't made-up stories by his opponent. McAuliffe wrote about them in his book called What a Party. I'm not endorsing or opposing this candidate, just relaying what's left a lot of husbands scratching their heads and thinking they'd never get away with anything like that. If Mr. McAuliffe wants to be Father of the Year, he'd better practice more.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Rod Swanson are excited to share these new book topics upcoming on Book Talk in the next weeks. The determined story of a family to rescue their son from a cult. Who really wrote the Book of Mormon? And the new Concordia commentary on Romans. Live streaming, archived.
Listen to Book Talk weekday afternoons at 2:30 on the Messenger of Good News, KFUO. Our mission at KFUO is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ to the nations. Today's internet capabilities give us the opportunity to do that. Listeners from all over the world can follow the ministry of KFUO via our website, Facebook, Wi-Fi radios, and smartphone apps. You can listen to KFUO Radio 24 hours a day, anywhere, with our on-demand programs and live audio streams. Worldwide KFUO at KFUO.org.
Hi, I'm Mark Hawkinson. The psalmist once wrote, "Praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." You know, with God, You don't have to wonder. He's not going to wander away from you. He's the one who once said, "I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you." So why not join me for music, prayer, and some thoughts about your never-forsaking God on Jubilation Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. right here on Worldwide KFUO.
A gay couple is pursuing a discrimination complaint against a suburban Denver bakery, saying the business refused them a wedding cake to honor their marriage in Massachusetts. The Colorado Attorney General's office filed a formal complaint after the ACLU initiated the process on behalf of David Mullins and Charlie Craig. They say the Masterpiece Cake Shop refused to make a cake for them when they told the owner it was to celebrate their Massachusetts wedding. The couple's complaint says he told them that making a wedding cake for a gay couple would violate his Christian beliefs. The ACLU's Colorado legal director, Mark Silverstein, says,
"We're all entitled to worship according to our own faith, but someone's personal religious beliefs don't justify breaking the law by discriminating against others in the public sphere."
The case highlights growing tension between gay rights and religious rights as more states legalize same-sex marriage and civil unions. I'm Steve Coleman.
Prices are rising, the devil's to blame. Moving the mountain that got in the way. Rebels and Indians to find a plan. Deciding the fate of the family of man.
Thanks for sticking with us on Faith and Family on Worldwide KFUO. Your temporary host, Rod Swanitzer, enjoying our talk with Pastor Charles Wildner. He's one of the pastors at St. Thomas Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baltimore, Maryland. They got a good thing going there. A lot of stuff. I checked out their website, and we're going to link right up to it where you can check it out too. And maybe, if anything, tell them you're encouraged by what they're doing there for the Lord with these inner city kids and their families. And maybe even put a few dollars in a check or whatever in there to encourage them and keep this Kids Cool Club going both during the school year and in the summer, because, you know, kids need to be off the streets in the summer, and what better place to put them in a Lutheran church? So, Charles, this idea of the Kids Cool Club and really taking Jesus to them, does this affect at all? Now, you said that you have a rehab house for some men, is that right? That's part of your ministry there too?
Yes. That's one of our ministries. We were able to buy the building on the other corner from where the church is, which increased our churchyard, which was great. And we can house 14 men in early stages of drug and alcohol.
Wow. Now, do you have some people there that can watch over them and kind of help them out too with their struggles?
Well, they've generally gone through a rehab or something, so they are to attend NA or AA meetings, and I only live two blocks away, so I run in and out all the time, and that's how we function with it.
Okay.
Actually, three of the men right now in there are members of the congregation. They've been there a while and have joined.
Well, I was going to ask that. The Lord bless you at all with all of this, you know, both the kids and the men then and their families of showing them the grace and mercy of Christ and all of you guys they catch the spirit and the rest is history, as we say. So the Lord has did that kind of connecting for you too.
Yeah, he really has. The sad thing, how he started that ministry was people would come out of rehabs and out of jail, and the only place for them to return was crack houses, places where people were using, and they would just fall back into the whole mess of doing drugs again. So we realized how important it was to have a clean place and a Christian-based place for them to go.
Sure. Now, when you're ministering to these kids and to these adults, and I, as we were talking before, I would assume that they don't have a great knowledge of basic Bible stories or any of that, that some of us that were blessed to grow up in a Christian home, Christian families. It must be just absolutely phenomenal at times to see what the Lord does with letting those people hear for the first time the good news of Jesus and what the Bible's all about.
It really is. The kids get excited, and basically the cool club, kind of place where most of us maybe went through Sunday school. So this is the only days and learn the songs and et cetera with it. I've seen grown men break down and cry because when they realize that they did not have to go to hell and they could be forgiven for what all they've done. You know, the Lord's really blessed us to reach out to these individuals who were thought they were lost.
Yeah, that's touching because, you know, the Bible is adamant that we reach out to all people, not just the rich, the wealthy, the ones just like us, but, you know, as our Lord was accused of hanging out with the misfits of society, we need to hang out with them too and let them know that the Savior is for them also. And you, as you say, they're always some of the most touched because, you know, it's like Jesus says, for those that have much to be forgiven, you know, they're going to love me much too. So you kind of see that played out in real life, it sounds like.
Yeah, very true. In fact, we had one man that came to us because of our outreach. One of the men in the recovery house reached out to a guy who was disabled, and he is a very active member, and he teaches in the cool club and stuff like that. So it all kind of comes around and gels together. Our congregation is made up of such a mixture of people from, we're also one of the centers of Lutheran Outreach for the Blind, and we've gained 3 members from that, and they help out with Vacation Bible School and things like that, and the Cool Club at times, so you can see how one ministry affects the other and helps the other grow.
Yeah, I was going through the great photos that you had on your website, and it looked like some of those people might be blind, is that right?
Yes. Yes, okay. Well, we have the once a month we gather anywhere from 16 to maybe 27, 28 blind people. And that format is basically they come, they do an hour Bible study, we give them a home-cooked meal, and then they have some sort of entertainment, educational speaker or something like that, and then they have an hour vesper service.
Wow. Now, I want to spend some time here, Charles, just going through with other people out there that might be listening and considering and praying to the Lord how some of this might be started on their you know, needs for the community and so forth. So how long did it really take the Baltimore area to kind of catch on that what the Kids Cool Club was about and for people to come and take part and then kind of build the momentum?
For the kids, basically what we did is we'd walk the streets with flyers, either go door to door or you just go to where you see a clump of kids playing and say, take me to your mother. I want to give her some information. That's probably the most effective way of getting the kids playing and asking them to take you, show them to their mother.
Sure.
And then as other congregations found out what was going on, sometimes you'd have an individual say, ooh, I can help one day a week, or I have all this material, can you use it, you know, whether it's arts and crafts or paper or, you know, fabric or whatever. So people donate in all different ways. Some of the groups in the area, the ladies groups and stuff like that, have found out over the years and would help, you know, financially so that we can afford the vicar or the program and stuff like that. So it's kind of a word of mouth. You know, I've spoken to different churches about it at times. I'll get an invitation and take some pictures and explain what we do with the kids and how we reach out. And, you know, there's some success stories and some come back to you years later. You know, some will come back when they realize that, you know, I got married and I have a kid, and I remember you telling me how that we should be baptized. So you can reach into the family that way.
Wow.
They think how they remember things years later.
Yeah, and, you know, I just came out of a parish in Dearborn, Michigan, Charles, and, you know, a lot of Arab and Muslim people there, and I had the thrill just a couple of years ago. I was at our health club working out, and this lady there that had set up a kind of a barber beauty shop said to me, do you remember me? And I looked at her and said, no, and she told me the name, and she said, you know, I was the Muslim girl that you taught and baptized there. And I was
wow.
It really hit me like a ton of bricks, you know.
Yeah.
But I never thought I would be able to see her again because, you know, you just, with that kind of environment, you can't really expose it in public or, there's that, their strange practice of, of not letting anybody convert without a price. And so,
the
great stuff. And you know, how exciting, too, that it sounds like that somebody in an inner city situation or where they're kind of like your kind of a neighborhood environment, you don't have to expend a lot of money to get this going. Think of just some basic time and get some people that could donate some of their time.
There's like no budget for it, okay, for the most part. We may spend some money or get donations for arts and crafts, for paints and things like that. We would buy some of the like Bible storybooks from CPH, and you kind of go with that, and you read from it. You make up your own worksheets, or we always make up our own crafts and things like that. So we save tons of things. There's one room that has, you know, nothing but cans and paper and pads and you name it for arts and crafts.
Great.
So that you can look at a arts and crafts book and have all the supplies right there.
Sure. And then the promotion, you just got the shoe leather and little flyers and handout and start talking to people and inviting them.
You just go and invite them and you have the kids there. Snacks are varied, you know, from being just a couple cookies and Kool-Aid to some years people will volunteer and bake things like once a week or twice a week for it. One lady one year came and she provided nutritious snacks. She goes, no, I can do this, you know. So it'll really vary according to the volunteers and, you know, what we're blessed with. Right now, one of the churches, there's a co-op with organic food. So when things come that we can make stuff for the kids, we use that and make snacks and offer them.
Great.
That comes once a week.
Yeah.
When you were talking about the reward, one time I was going to a gas station and I ran in to pay for the gas, and this lady behind the counter says, oh, Pastor Charles. I'm like, hi, you know, like, who are you? And looking back, she goes, oh, you'll remember me, but she told me her name. She goes, I was probably one of the worst kids you ever had in Cool Club in your entire life. And I'm thinking, you are 100% correct. I remembered every story and everything I went through. And she goes, but you'll be glad to know that you got through, because I'm now the Sunday school superintendent and have been for 5 years.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
And she said, the only place I learned about Jesus was from Cool Club.
Yeah.
And she goes, you know, my parents didn't go. She goes, but I'm married and I'm the Sunday school superintendent.
It's that old thing, Charles, about, you know, and I think Paul talks about this, that, you know, some plant and some do the weeding and some do the watering and some bust the rocks in the field and others get to do the harvest. And, you know, so it's not all about the harvest, is it? It's just working in the vineyard.
Yes, one lady came back from LWML convention. She met all these other people. She goes, you know, we're just a planting congregation.
Wow.
I said, what? Because she heard about all these people that, you know, we've affected and then went to other congregations. And she goes, we do a good job of planting.
Charles, do you have any idea how many souls you might have touched since you started this Kids Cool Club?
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. If you're talking about since, like, 74.
Wow. So we're talking almost, 40 years here coming up. So
40 years and anywhere from 25, because even when you say if you limit it, you know, that number will change as to who comes.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You're probably hitting about at least 40 to 80, 40 kids now. It used to be about 80 kids. So it's quite a few. And then the wintertime, too, you know, can be a different set of kids that comes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Probably in hundreds of thousands now.
Wow. And so, like, what kind of a radius, how far away do you draw kids and their families to this, Charles?
Well, in Baltimore at the row houses, you know, you see a door, two windows, door, two windows, door, two windows, and it's just like that for blocks and blocks. So most kids will walk about 4-10 blocks in any direction. Once in a while, you have a family that was Lutheran or had come here to Cool Club or something, and they might bring them, you know, a mile or so.
Yeah,
but it's so many people in such a small area.
Small place. Yeah, so you're serving a pretty small geographic area, but a lot of people compacted in there, and a lot of kids, which is great, right? And so touch them with the good news at a young age and their families. So if somebody talks to you, and I know they do, you know, and even have you come into congregations and groups and talk about your efforts, what kind of recommendations do you make if somebody would like to try to do something like you're doing? What steps, what kind of process do you recommend that they begin down the road of doing to put something like this together?
Well, people in the area tease me and they call me the do it pastor because I'm always saying, stop worrying about it, just do it. Set a date. You know, you don't have to have everything perfect. You know, what you need to do is, you know, set up your schedule, get a couple volunteers. You can probably start, you know, working with, let's say, 20 kids with three people easily. You know, pick out what you're going to do with the Bible. Have some games. Have indoor games in case it rains. If you've got space, do some outdoor games. And just enjoy the kids, you know. Love them. Share the love of Christ. Tell his word to them. Don't apologize for being Lutheran. Teach them the catechism. And just kind of go for it. And the kids will catch up, you know. When I was a student going through college and seminary, and this was my summer job here, I loved it. I couldn't wait to get home for the summer and get back with the kids. And I think they pick up on that.
Yeah, they pick up on the sincerity and the passion of the adults that are around. If they sniff out somebody that's just in it because they have to be, they smell you out pretty quick, don't they?
Exactly. And, you know, it's amazing how much stuff other places will give away and throw away. One of the pastors, he's in Dakota, he called me up and says, you want our leftover vacation Bible school stuff? It's like, sure, mail it. You know, so you can always use the pictures or the teacher's guides or something like that for it. So, you know, it doesn't all have to be currently bought right then, you know, because it's new to the kids.
And I think you talk about a disease that we have in Lutheranism and maybe even some other, you know, church bodies where, you know, we plan to death. You know, we sit around and plan and get committees and think it all out, put it on paper and argue about it and worry, fret about it. And I like what you say, you know, just Nike it. Just go get a little plan down and then just go do something. And then the Lord will lead you to modify and put it together, you know. And taking that first step of just doing something is, and then get feedback and then keep going. I like that. I like that, Charles.
You know, to start this, you need some glue, some paint, or whatever arts and crafts. You need a cheap bag of cookies and some Kool-Aid. And open the church and do it.
Pretty basic stuff.
You know, have the kids. That's pretty basic stuff.
This is not rocket science. This is just reaching out and doing some kids things with a Christian emphasis, you know.
And then when people find out, people start giving you stuff. If you're doing stuff with music and stuff like that, all of a sudden people say, here, do you want rhythm sticks? Do you want, I got some kids' drums, or, you know, I got triangles or whatever you want to use, and, you know, yard sales are great.
Yeah.
And you just go with it and just add as you go along.
Too bad you don't need some old broadcast equipment. We got some around, and we're moving to new studios, but I don't think it'll do much with the kids.
I don't know what I can do with that right now.
I have no idea what to do with it either. But Charles, when you're first exposing kids to this, you know, this gospel message, and you know, they're coming from pretty rough backgrounds, I take it, and pretty extreme family situations. How do you see them kind of first react to this?
Well, they generally react really well to having the attention. You know, kids want to show you what they did in school, they tell you stories and things like that. The one thing you have to be careful with these days is when kids don't come from the typical family with a mother and father, and when you're talking about God being the Father, you have to always preface that with what should a loving father be with the kids, and talk about that first.
Yeah,
and because they have an idea in their mind from what they've seen on TV or seen other people, but you know, if you just come through with that right away, they don't get it. I saw one preacher one time talking, and it was around Mother's Day. Well, his mother, you know, was just out of the scene and on drugs and et cetera and in prison. And he was like under the pew because he couldn't relate at all.
Yeah.
But if you talked about, you know, what was a loving mother or grandmother, you know, how should they be? And then you can talk about how God is that loving parent.
Yeah.
We have to be sensitive to where the kids are coming from, or what happens when they, like if a kid misbehaves so he can't go on the trip because he can't afford it, so it doesn't look bad, like, you know, they can be ashamed to say, I don't have the money to do something. So you always have to be kind of sensitive and find out why, what are they doing.
Yeah, I remember at a kind of an upscale church that I served at early on where, you know, in a junior confirmation class, you know, this girl came in and she looked kind of different from the rest of the kids, and they were talking about what they liked and what they didn't like the first day. And, you know, they're going around the room. They get to her, and, you know, she says, well, I'm into bikes. And the kids are thinking, like, well, you know, mountain bikes or 10-speeds? And she said, you know, hell no, I'm into Harleys, you know. And the kids were just shocked out. And then she started telling stories, and these pure as the driven snow kids, you know, they're like freaking out. It was like, wow, they were not used to this at all. And you get it kind of the other way, I would imagine, where the norm is not a real, what we call a real good normal nuclear family situation, and they see stuff that most of us adults have never even seen, and it's commonplace for them. And so, you know, you got to start, find out where they're at, start there, and then show them the better way of Jesus, and you know, help give some comfort and joy into their little lives. I like what you're saying about, and you know, that might inspire a lot of people out there, Charles, that, you know, with kids, you don't have to be everything to them. You have to let them know that you like them, and they love attention. We all love attention, and we want people to like us. We want them to want to hang out with us, and so that's pretty easy for most of us to do. Even older people, you know, I find that as I get older, Charles, I get along better with the younger people than when I was in my middle age. You know, there's something about it when you get to be an older person like I am, and you get with the younger person, and I know maybe you have more patience. You've been through it with your kids and others, but they're great because you sense that you can touch this life. You know,
you can, and you just need to be yourself and you know, share Christ and then share other things that you love, and then they become interested.
Yeah.
And it, whether it's art or music or sports or whatever, or, you know, the lady that takes the kids into the kitchen and does baking because she loves to do that. You know, when you're excited about something and you get to share that with them, you know, it's like kids that love to go to their grandmothers and their grandmother shares whatever she does well.
Yeah. I remember VBS, we had a whole week one time where we just brought in the church members, and their hobbies, their careers, their passions, they shared with the kids. You know, like some guys did woodworking, another guy did, you know, cooking, another guy did gardening, another lady did art. Man, the kids just ate that stuff up, you know?
We're talking about things here that do not cost money.
No.
You're just asking them to come in, and if anything, they generally have, oh, I wraps or this, or I can do this with the kids, or I can show them how to do this or that. It's just a matter of reaching out and, you know, working together.
Yeah. And then basic sharing, basic Bible teachings and stories like the catechism. And, you know, most of our members should be able to do some of that or have the pastor or a vicar or whatever. And thing for a congregation to consider to have a vicar come in, like you were saying, that your wonderful experience, and kind of take this thing, and this might develop into full-time ministry for both the congregation and the vicar later on, as in your case.
Definitely, yes.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience for them, because you get to work with the kids and you get to work with the parents when you can, you know, try to reel them in somehow or talk to them or, you know, get them involved. Sometimes you can actually, like one time we had this thing where they had to make something out of this bag of stuff, and the parents got a little more involved, and it was great, you know, because brought the kids that day. Before that, they just let them walk here, but they wanted to make sure the project they'd helped them with made it.
Oh, wow.
So that was kind of
a little pride in the parent and the kid doing something together and then bringing it there, kind of like the soapbox derby where the dad likes to come and see how they did.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, that's hard because now you're trying to get parents who normally aren't involved. So when you do that, you've really made a breakthrough.
Yeah.
And got them at least through the church doors so you can talk to them and find out, you know, we're the loving people. We're not actually, you know, out there to bite or hurt or take from you.
Yeah, Charles, we've unfortunately come to the end of the hour, and we've enjoyed it so much. With a few minutes left, what would you say out there to the people that are listening that are going, gosh, I wonder if we could do that in our community, in our neighborhood? What would you say to them?
I guess what comes to my mind is from a hymn, My song is Love Unknown, and says, love to the loveless shown that they might lovely be. We've got so many wonderful things to share in Christ. You know, just go out and do it. Don't be afraid of who the other people are or what they look like. Just share the love of Christ.
And I love what you say about, you know, you don't have to be somebody you're not. Just be yourself. Just be the church. Give them what you got. And they're going to love it, and they're going to relate and warm up to you more if you just be yourself. You don't have to put on airs.
Exactly.
You don't have to dream up something that you don't have. Go with what you got and just let the Spirit lead you.
That's so true, and God will use your gifts, you know, to His glory and to reach out with people.
So all of us out there, this looks like just a magnificent thing. I heard good things about it, and then we heard even more having Pastor Charles Wildner on from St. Thomas Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baltimore, Maryland. Charles, thanks so much for being our guest, and let's keep plugged together, Worldwide KFUO and the Kids Cool Club and the Hot Summer Cool Club there in Baltimore. We've loved this. Thanks for being on. We're going to link right up to you. I hope the Lord blesses you, that your mailbox is flowing over with encouragement and even a few shekels every now and then.
That would be wonderful.
Keep
Thank
in touch.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much, Charles, and maybe we'll see you sometime there in the Baltimore area. God's blessing on your summer and your outreach for Jesus.
With you too in your program. Thank you.
Great, great. And tune in next week on Faith and Family, where we are going to take another topic, and we're going to have more guests, more experts for you to talk to, listen to, call in, email us. We love to have you on. We'd love to even have your thoughts about what you might like to hear on Faith and Family. We've got some lined up, but we'd like to hear what things you'd like to have talked about, too. There's many more family topics out there that I know the body of Christ and the world needs. So send us your thoughts at family@kfuo.org, or you can go on our website or Facebook page and tell us that as well. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you Monday on Faith and Family here on Worldwide KFUO.